to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 16 through verse number 24. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And you really pray this morning that the Lord would speak to our hearts and help us. The Lord knows what we need from week to week and day to day, and He'll meet our needs and give us what we need if we'll receive it. But Luke chapter 14, verse number 16 down through verse number 24. The Bible said, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here. Lord, we do have many objects of prayer, many things that we're praying about, people that are sick, people that are out working in the bad weather. Lord, we want to remember them and pray that you'd keep them safe and keep us safe when we go home in a little while. Lord, we do pray for that. Lord, we know you're in control of all things, the weather, sickness, healing, the situation in the world. Lord, nothing is a surprise unto thee today, and I can find comfort in that. I'm thankful for it. But Lord, I pray you'd speak to us from the Word of God today. I pray that you'd help me as I stand and try to preach. I pray for liberty. I pray the Word of God would speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us as only you can. Lord, I ask for your will to be done here this morning. I pray for liberty. I pray for freedom. I pray for power. I pray the Spirit of God would just have liberty, freedom to speak to our hearts, and that the Word of the Lord would not be hindered in any way whatsoever. Lord, have your way. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verse 23 one more time. That's where we'll start at this morning. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." One of the easiest things that a Christian could ever do for the Lord is found in these verses, and it's simply this: inviting someone to church. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning, inviting people to church. Look at verse number 23 one more time. And I know there are those that could, and we could break all this up dispensationally and, you know, go into great detail along those lines, but I want to just try to be real simple this morning, inviting people to church. Verse 23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Inviting people to church. Now, the word inviting is not in the passage of Scripture here, it actually says compel them to come in. Now, compel is a little bit stronger than to just invite somebody. When you compel somebody to do something, it means this. It means to urge them. So that's a little bit stronger than just invite somebody, to urge them irresistibly, to constrain them, to oblige them is what the word compel means. Now, you invite somebody to a birthday party. And we're all familiar with that. Or you might receive an invitation to somebody's getting married. They're going to have a wedding. Well, you know what? They're going to have it whether you go or not. When you receive an invitation to, say, a birthday party or something like that, you can just sort of take it or leave it. They're going to have it anyway, and they would just like for you to be there. They've invited you to come. They would like for you to come, but really it's up to you. Take it or leave it. It's up to you. But when we compel somebody, that's stronger than just inviting them. You know, we compel one another. You need to get out and vote. You know, this is a election year, and there's a lot of compelling to go and vote or register to vote. You compel somebody because you say, this matters to you. You ought to vote because this, you've got an interest in this. This is going to mean something to you down the road. Or if we had some kind of important community meeting, Monday night, they're going to meet down at the courthouse. And it's real important. You need to be there. You need to go. This matters to you. This is going to affect you. You need to mark something off your calendar and make sure you're there. It's important to you. That's compelling somebody. They've got an interest in this. You need to be there. This means something to you. This is going to affect you down the road. So compel is stronger than just invite. Well, we say invite somebody, or I'd like to invite you to church. It's the way we might say that or put that. What would you say if you invited somebody to church and they said to you, why? You ever had anybody say that to you? You know, I'd like to invite you to church. Why? Well, that's honest. You know, there's a lot of people inviting a lot of people to a lot of things. And people are very busy in this day and time. Everybody's got somewhere to go, somewhere to be, something to do, some good thing to be involved in. You know, there's all kinds of things. I'd like to invite you to church. Why? Why would you like to invite me to church? Why are you inviting me to church? Why should I go to church? You ever had anybody? I had a boy, a young man, tell me that one time. I'd invited him, said, I'd like you to come to church. He said, well, I don't understand why. He said, that's the only day of the week. Why would I want to come to church? It's the only day of the week that I'm not working. He said, that's my day of the week. He said, that's the day that I go hunting or fishing or take my family on a picnic. You know, that's my day. Why would I want to give it up? That's what he said. Why would I want to give it up to go to church? See, not everybody thinks like you do if you're used to going to church all the time. Why would you invite me? Why is it so important that you would invite me to church? Or we could say this morning, why do you go to church? You know, you could have laid out today and nobody would have thought anything about it. It's bad weather, slick roads, things like that. But if you asked somebody to come to church and they said, why is it so important to you? Why would you like me to come? Could you compel them from the Scriptures? Now, there's some good lessons in this passage of Scripture about inviting people to church, and I want to bring them out today with the help of the Lord. First of all, we're going to begin in verse number 16. Look what the Bible says up there. Why come to church? Well, number one, there's the Master. Verse 16 says, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. There's the man. Here's why I'd like for you to come to church. I want you to meet my Master. I want you to learn about my master. This man that it's talking about in verse number 16, then said he unto him, a certain man, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who that man is. It says down in verse number 21, it calls him the master of the house. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, look in verse number 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. This man in this passage of Scripture is a type of or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many reasons why I desire people to come to church, and I hope you do. And I try to invite people to come to church all the time. I would say there's rarely a week goes by that I don't invite somebody to church. I've got reasons. I want my friends to come to church. I've got family that I'd like to see come to church. I've got neighbors. I've got people that I am around that I invite. I would like them to come to church. But you know, the number one reason why somebody ought to come to church is because the Lord wants them to come. The Lord wants them to come to church. This man in this passage of Scripture went to much trouble. He bade many. He made a great supper. And he sent his servants out to compel them to come into his house. The Lord wants people to come to church. It's interesting to me when you think about it. You think about, I was reading yesterday and studying about what David said over in Psalms chapter number 8, and it talks over there about David when he considered the creation, the work of the hands of the Lord, the heavens, the moon, the stars. David is looking out at creation and he sees how vast and how great it is and how marvelous it is. And David said in Psalms 8:4, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Do you know how small and insignificant and little we are in relation to all the rest of creation and all of these things? And David, it come to his man. Why would God even want anything to do with man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, God needs nothing today. God doesn't need anything. He is completely, totally self-sufficient. He is eternal. He was there before the world ever came into existence. He had heaven. He had the angels, but he needs nothing. God doesn't need to go to the grocery store. God doesn't need to get a drink of water. God doesn't need money. God doesn't need light. He is light. God needs absolutely nothing in order to exist or for his existence. God just doesn't need anything. He's eternal. He is self-sufficient. But you know what? God desires some things. And God desires fellowship. God desires fellowship. That is why God created Adam and Eve and this world and everything that is in it. To begin with, God created man upon the earth because God, who needs nothing, desired to have fellowship. Not with the angels. I don't think there's anything wrong with the angels or that God had something against the angels, but God had a desire to fellowship with man. He made man upon the earth. And when God made man upon the earth, the Bible says that the Lord God came and walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And he had a habit or he had a routine. He came and he fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. He made them for that purpose. God desired something. You know, today God still desires to have fellowship with mankind, which he made upon the earth. And we could say many things about that, but when you're talking about inviting someone to church, you need to remember that it's his house that we're talking about. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's not our house. It's the Lord's house. It's his supper. It's His invitation. Why do I want somebody to come to church? Why would I want you to come to church? Because the Lord wants you to come. And as we invite somebody, all I am is just a messenger. Look at verse 17. And sent His servant. That's you and me. That's us. We're the messengers. We're the servants. Sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. We're just the messenger. If you invite somebody to church and they say, I don't want anything to do with that, I don't care about that, I'm not interested in that, do you know what? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. Because it's His house. It's His supper. It's His invitation. Revelation 22 and verse number 17, the Bible says over there, and the Spirit and the bride, that's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is thirst come. We're to invite. We're to compel. We want people to come. But why? Why should they come? Why should they be interested? Because the Lord wants them to come to His house, that it might be filled. There's the master we want you to meet. Number two this morning, there's the meal. Look in verse 16 again. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. That's the meal. A certain man made a great supper. You know, church ought to be associated with spiritual food. Why you go to church? Going to get your soul fed. Luke chapter number 4, look over there, just a few pages back. Luke chapter number 4, we're going to read just a couple of verses over there. This is when the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil. And the Lord Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came along to tempt him. Now, if you'd been fasting, going without food, you'd been this long time without food, well, you think the first thing you'd be interested in would be, I'd be hungry. So the Bible said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now the Lord could have done that if He'd have wanted to. He doesn't have to go to McDonald's. He doesn't have to go to the grocery store. He just made food out of the stones if He'd have wanted to. But verse 4 said, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This Bible is spiritual food for your soul. And all throughout the Bible, we find over and over again that the Word of God is likened unto food. In John chapter number 6, the Lord Jesus over there compared Himself to the bread of life. If you partake of Him, you never hunger again. He's the bread of life. Jeremiah said about the Word of God, Jeremiah 15 and 16, he said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Paul and Peter in the New Testament, both of them likened the Word of God unto milk and meat. It's not, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's no wonder Baptist preachers are so big. You can't study the Word of God without it being put in your mind something to eat. Did you know that? And I'd never noticed that till yesterday, but I'll tell you, when I'm studying, I just about have to have something to snack on. I got to have something to eat on while I'm studying. And I'd never noticed this before, but yesterday when I was studying, I was thinking, the subliminal message going into my mind is eat. Eat. Last Sunday night, Brother Don preached out of Psalms 8, 32, something like that, or Psalms 34, verse number 8. I get them mixed up, but he preached out of Psalms 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what came to my mind while he was preaching? I wonder if he'd like to go to Cracker Barrel after service, get something to eat. I mean, hey, we take the Bible literally, don't we? It says eat and taste and see how good it is. Buddy, I believe that. I study the Word of God. It makes me think about eating. You know what? If you'll go to church, you'll get something at church. If the preacher and the teachers are doing their job, you will get something at church that you won't get anywhere else. You'll get soul food. You'll get food for your soul. You'll get something that will help you spiritually speaking. You cannot get that just anywhere, but you can get it at the house of God. Amen. Romans 10:14 said, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. You're going to get a meal, I hope. I pray when I go to church, I'm spiritually hungry. I want to get something from the Word of God. You know what? The supper has been prepared. The invitation has gone out. Come and eat. It's ready. It's ready. You're going to get a meal. You're going to get soul food at the house of God. Now, I want to notice this before I go on. It said a certain man made a great supper. That's what the Bible says. Do you notice it doesn't say a great breakfast? He didn't make a great dinner. He made a great supper. Now, dinner is the noontime meal. Read Genesis chapter 43 when you get home and Joseph was ruler over the land of Egypt and his brethren came down there and he said, "Prepare a meal. I'm going to dine at noon with these men." So if you are from up north, it will tell on you when you start calling supper time dinner time. But if you're a Bible believer, you're going to say dinner time is at noon. That's how it used to be. And now we've got lunch and brunch and eat all day long. But in the Bible, dinner's a noontime meal. And in the Bible, supper is the evening time meal. Do you know what? Supper is the last meal of the day. A lot of times you wouldn't even eat anything else after supper. Now I know we eat, or I do. I about always have something before I go to bed. I know that's not a good habit to be in, but supper time, it's the last meal of the day. And when we are going out and we're inviting people to church, we're inviting them in this day and time, this dispensation, this late period in the last days. It's the last meal. This might be the last opportunity you have. You look out here in the world today and what's going on all around the world, I believe with all my heart this thing's about over. This is supper time. This is not the beginning. This is not the middle. We're way down in the evening time. You better come. Better come while you can. Better come and get it. This is the supper meal we're talking about. This is the last meal of the day. Verse number 17 says something else. "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." I like that. It's ready. It's not going to be ready in a little while. The servant went out. To me, when I imagine this in my mind, supper's on the table. This is an urgent thing. People wouldn't come. He said, "Go out quickly. Supper's getting cold. It's on the table. It's all ready. All you got to do is come in, sit down and eat. It's ready." Boy, I don't know about you, but I take supper time seriously at my house. When Kim says, "It's ready," you know what? Praise the Lord, I'm not messing around. I'm coming to the kitchen. Now, at my house, I call some of them, I won't say who, but you know what I call them? I said, "Y'all are a bunch of lollygaggers. I don't know what it is about my house, but I am honest this morning. Kim says, it's supper time, come and eat." And some of them thinks that's the time to go to the bathroom. That's the time to walk off into the other part of the house. That's the time to go get on the telephone. Buddy, not me. That makes me so aggravated. You know, the Lord got aggravated. Oh, when the servant came, read it for yourself, and he said, they've all made excuses. The Bible said he got angry. Hey, it's on the table. It's ready. It's laid out. Let's get in there and eat. What's wrong with people? They got all this other stuff they all of a sudden got to do. It's ready. What do you need this morning in your life, spiritually speaking? You know what? It's ready. You need to be saved. Nothing else needs to be done. It's ready. You got a need in your life that only the Lord can fulfill. You know what? It's ready. All you got to do is come. All you got to do is eat. It's laid out there. That's the message from the Scripture. Come, for all things are now ready. It's urgent. Better get to coming. If you're not going to come now, when are you going to come? If you're not going to get right with God and live for Him and serve Him or get saved, whatever it is in your life you need, if you're not going to come now, when do you plan to come? What day on your calendar have you got set aside? The message is urgent. It's not going to go out forever and ever. There's the master. There's the meal. Number 3, verse number 16. There's also the many. The many. I like that. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, is what the Bible says. Now, if we were to look at this dispensationally this morning, I mean, what does that mean in light of the Bible? I believe this, the first that were bidden were the Jews. Jesus said he come but to none but the house of Israel. So he came to first, his brethren in the flesh. He came to them, he offered them the kingdom first of all. Well, they all, the Bible said, look what they made excuse. It said there in verse number 20, the very last part of the verse, the last one that had an excuse, and therefore I cannot come. That was their response. We're not ready right now. We cannot come at this point. But look on down at verse 21. It said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, that's what I was saying a minute ago, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. See, he said, go quickly. It's urgent. Supper's on the table. It's getting cold. Go out quickly in the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. There's a lot we could say about these few verses right here, the different people and all these things, but I just want to quickly summarize it like this and say, you know who the invitation has gone out to? All classes of people, everybody. Who's that many that's included in? That's everybody. That's the rich and the poor and the educated and the uneducated and the unrighteous and the self-righteous. And it is from the highest to the lowest. The invitation has gone out to many, everybody, all classes of people. You know what? You're not too bad and you're not too good for God to save. Some people, now some people think they're too good. They don't need to be saved, but I'm telling you, you need to be saved. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's everybody. Everybody needs to be saved. Good people think they don't need to be saved. Bad people think they're too bad for God to save them. I've invited people to church before. I've been told this. Preacher, you don't know how bad I am. Preacher, if I came to your church, God would strike the church with lightning. I've had people tell me that before. You know what I'm going to say next time? I never said this, but next time somebody tells me that, I'm going to tell them this. Let me tell you something. If God wanted to strike you with lightning, he wouldn't have to get you in near the church. If God wanted to exterminate you that way, it wouldn't matter where you was. You could go down a mile under the ground in a coal shaft, and if God decided your number was up, you're gone for. So don't let anybody tell you that they're too bad to come to church. If God wanted to kill them, God could kill them anywhere and anytime that he wanted to. But people have this false idea that God's out to kill them. And if they come within, on the church grounds, that's what the Lord would do. But here's the real attitude God has towards sinners. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does God want? God wants to save you. God wants to change your life. God wants you to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved and go to heaven when you die. God is not in the business of just going around striking people down with lightning. If he was, there wouldn't be 7 billion people on the planet today. Because we're living in a very wicked, godless generation. Why is it going on? People ask me that. Why does God allow? Because he loves people, that's why. Because he doesn't want them to die and go to hell. He wants them to be saved. Why is time going on? Because the invitation, the message is still going out. But don't you think it's going to go out forever and ever? If you notice in this passage of Scripture and read it carefully, you will see that the room is filling up. Did you know that? Look at verse 21 again. Now, the first ones, they wouldn't come. But it said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. He had already went out and invited these people to come in. And you know what these people had already done? These people had already come in. Lord, it's done. That's what he said. You know, Brother Jeff went to the Philippines. Can you imagine that? He goes over there. What was he there? 10 days? They have 10, imagine this, 10 days of work. And I know the local churches put in a lot more before that. But they go over there for 10 days. What'd they say, 600 and some people saved? Not everybody has the attitude towards the gospel. I'm not interested in that. I don't want anything to do with that. Do you know there's people in the world, when they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what their attitude is? It's the best thing I ever heard in my life. Do you want that? You better believe I want that. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I'm missing in my life. I need to be saved. I'm lonely. I'm lost. I'm undone. I have no hope. You mean to tell me God loves me? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I can be saved. I can go to heaven. Do you want to come? You better believe I want to come. Not everywhere is like living in America. But you know what? We don't live in the Philippines. We don't live in Cuba. One of our missionaries has gone to Cuba, and for years, for over 20 years, he's come back with, they've had thousands and thousands of people saved. When they go down there in that communist country where they're not allowed to have church like we have church, they'll go out in the mountains, they'll go out in the places, they'll meet in a church, and people will come and stand around the building. Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They always have people saved. They have people that will walk for miles. They don't get on a bus. They don't ride in a car. It costs them something to go and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be saved. It's easier to see them saved. You want to come? Yes, I want to come. That's the first group. The room is filling up. And he said, I've already went out and I've got those in. And yet, the Bible said in verse 22, look what it says, the last part, and yet there is room. We done went out. We got a lot of people to come, but there's still some room. And so what did he say in verse number 23? And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We have a highway and hedges ministry. Did you know that? It seemed to me like the first group came in pretty easy, but now to fill up the room, a little more effort. He went out into the city, first of all. That's where the lame and the blind and the halt and the maimed and all those people were. And they came in, yet there was room. He said, go out in the highways and hedges. Go a little farther. Try a little harder. The first ones came pretty easy. This second group, you're going to have to compel them with reasons to come in that my house may be filled. That's the ministry that we have right here outside of Boone, North Carolina. We've got the Highway and Hedges ministry. And I'd say all throughout America, that's pretty much what churches are up against. The highway and the hedges, it's a little bit harder. People are not as eager to come as that first group, but I'm still telling you, the room is going to fill up one of these days. It's going to fill up. They said, we've done that, and yet there is room. And the Lord, the Master said, go out and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. One of these days, the house is going to be filled. I'm talking about one of these days, that last one is going to get saved. And then I think of the great picture over in Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 did not. And they said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the 5 that didn't have oil in their lamps, they said, we need to get some oil. And while they went to get some oil, the Bible says the Lord came and he shut the door. One of these days, the door to salvation is going to be shut. For those that have heard and heard and heard and rejected, but the room's going to be filled. And the day of opportunity and the day of grace, as far as how it is right now, that day and that opportunity is going to be gone forever. You know, if we really wanted to see the Lord come, we'd really be more interested in the house getting filled up. We'd want to see people saved. If you really believe that, you say, preacher, when the last one is saved, is the bride going to be complete and the rapture's going to happen and this day that we're living is going to be over? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. If you really believe that, you'd want to see the house filled. We'd be more interested in getting souls saved. There's the many. The invitation has gone out to all classes. We've got that last hard group to go out into the highways and the hedges. You think of all these houses sitting around, really they're sitting in a briar patch. If we don't have highways and hedges ministry, who does? We do. So there's the many. Last of all this morning, there's the missing. Why do I want people to come to church? I don't want them to be part of this missing group. There are those that are going to miss out. Well, let's look at them quickly. Verse number 18. The Bible said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. You ever invited somebody to church and you got an excuse? I have. People have always got an excuse. Look at these excuses here. The first one had something else to see. In verse number 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I underlined that word see there. And I realized this morning that there's always going to be something else to see. There's always going to be that something else. Some say they'll go to church after they've seen all the things that they want to see. You know what the problem with that? Proverbs 27 and 20 said, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Have you ever got the place where you said, I've just seen all that I care to see? I don't care to see anything else. My eyes are full. They're satisfied. I can live the rest of my life and I've seen enough. I don't need to see anything else. No. Your eyes never get full. And the devil will never let you see so much that you say, now I want to be saved. Now I want to go to church. Now I want to live for God. Your eyes are never satisfied. This world has a continual pull from the cradle to the grave. There's always something else to see. There's always some excuse not to come. He wanted to see something else. In verse number 19, this man wanted to do something else. The Bible said in verse 19, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Some people think they'll go to church, get right with God, get saved, when they've got nothing else to do. But there's always something else to do. There's always another project. There's always going to be 5 yoke of oxen. There's always going to be something else to prove. Always. Our lives are just like that. We go from one thing to another thing to another thing. He had something else to do. Verse number 20, this man had something else to enjoy. He said, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I've got something else. Preacher, I can't get saved right now. I can't start going to church right now. I'm just getting ready to go to high school. When I go to high school, it's going to be hard, and I want to have a good time and fit in. Maybe later I'll serve the Lord and do what I ought to do. I'm just starting college. When you go to college, you're supposed to go and have a good time and be free. And, you know, I want to do this first. I want to enjoy this phase of my life. Well, I'm just starting out in my new career. I've got to make some money, and I've got to pay for things, and I'm going to start a family, and as soon as I do that, well, then maybe, but then I've made a little money, and I want to enjoy, and I want to travel some, and I want to have some hobbies, some things. I've always wanted to do this, and then after I do this, then maybe it's always enough. There's always an excuse. I want to spend some money. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want this. There's something else that I would like to enjoy first. I'll tell you, the rich man in hell would like to enjoy a drop of water. Did you know that? Look over in Luke 16. Being rich is not everything. In fact, most rich people are more miserable than people that don't have anything. I was saying over there about that man in Luke chapter number 16. Now, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he never repented of his sins. If you read the whole passage, I'm not going to read all of it. But in Luke 16, in verse number 22, the Bible said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he could see over into paradise. But he was in hell. Verse 24 said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What a request. He said, what I would really like to have, just a drop of water. In life, he was a rich man. In life, he sat around the table and fared sumptuously every day. That means he ate like a king. People came, maybe even Lazarus was one that came. I sort of think that he was used to having Lazarus wait on him.
Because when he seen Abraham and Lazarus, he said, send Lazarus. He's used to being waited on. Just with one drop of water to cool my tongue. As I was studying yesterday, I kept looking outside and it come rain, sheets of rain coming down. Looks good. We know it's good for the ground. Here's a man, he just wanted one drop. One drop to cool his tongue. He said, how long would that last if he could have got a drop of water? It wouldn't have lasted half a second. He wouldn't have brought relief for half a second. But I'm sure that this rich man would have given everything that he'd ever accumulated in his former life for a half a second of relief from the torment that he was in. But he couldn't have that. He couldn't get that. But you know, I thought about this. If we could interview the man in hell in Luke chapter number 16, if we could go back and say, you know, there's an opportunity for you to go to church again, would you go? If you had another opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you do it? I'm sure the man would say, you'd better believe I would. It's too late. And he's missing. He'll never get out of hell. He'll never have relief from the torment that he finds there. I know that's not popular preaching, but that's what the Word of God says. He's in hell. He'll never get out. He'll never have relief. He'll never, ever get out of that awful state. He'll be missing for all of eternity. Luke 14 verse 24 said this. The Bible said, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." They had their opportunity and they missed it. There are those that are just going to be missing. And the sad thing is, they had an opportunity. That rich man in hell, you know, he actually had two prayer requests. Two things that he asked Abraham for. First of all, he asked him, he said, send Lazarus so he would dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, that'll never happen. The ones that are here cannot come over there. He said, there's a great gulf fixed in between us. There's no passing back and forth. Look over in Luke 16 again. What else he asked for though? Verse number 27, that rich man in hell, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know what that man in hell desired? He desired that somebody would go to his house and invite his brethren to come to church, to know the Lord, to be saved, to warn them so that they wouldn't come into that place of torment. People today are not interested in going to church, but I'll tell you, people in hell are interested in their families upon the earth. I wish somebody would go and tell them. I wish somebody would go and warn them. I wish somebody would go and compel them to come to church. Now, coming to church doesn't make you saved. When people come to church, they ought to hear the gospel message. As I said before, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of Jude, how ought we to live in these last days? And if some having compassion make a difference. We're so busy, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I meet people and I leave them and I don't think a thing about their soul sometimes. Maybe sometimes after I'm gone, shame on us. That's just a sad state of our spirituality. If we really believe the Word of God like we say that we do, we'd always be concerned about people's souls. And the easiest thing to do, sometimes just to enter into the conversation, or make an attempt. Hey, it doesn't say preach them a message. It doesn't say argue with them about creation. It doesn't say these things. It just says compel them to come in. The easiest thing to do is say, I'd like to invite you to church. That's what it's saying. You're just the messenger. Well, I hadn't noticed this. So I'm going to read this and then I'm going to be done. Well, if I invite people, they're going to think I'm weird. Well, if you're saved and live for God, they probably think you're weird anyway. Don't you guess? They notice you don't go along with everything. You shouldn't. If you're saved and different, they already notice. You might as well just tell it. Be honest about it. But you know what it goes on down to says? Luke 14:25. And there went a great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You're going to have to make some choices in this life. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to go after? Verse 27 said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I preached out of that last Sunday. That's a big deal. If he did not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.